Close off the first hour here of Wildcat Insider. John Kurtz, Wyatt Thompson, and Mitch Fortner all here with you. 537-1350. If you have a call, the game KMAN for questions or comments on Twitter. And we'll check that poll question to start the second hour of the show. In the Big 12 this weekend, I've got basically four headlines here for the other games. I'll start with this and see if you agree with me here. I think the headline to me from the Big 12 weekend was TCU knocking off Iowa State. Validated TCU's start, which, you know, I will admit I was surprised by where they had gotten to, and I thought they were a decent team, but them jumping up and beating Iowa State took it to another level for me, at least in terms of my respect for TCU, and for the first time ever, they have a winning record in the conference at 3-2.
Also just coming off a win in Austin for the first time in 30 years.
Yeah.
To put that into perspective, Jamie Dixon was playing point guard the last time that that happened. He's done a really good job there, to be honest with you, John. And it's more than just the influx of young talent. I've become pretty good friends with their radio voice down there, Brian Estridge, and I've talked to him quite a bit about it. And he's been so impressed with Coach Dixon and the job he's done. And I think the perfect example is Brodzianski. This was a face-up four-man, 6'10", foreign kid that liked to shoot threes last year. And now he's their starting center and just playing in the paint and probably has to run 10 gassers if he shoots a three. I mean, you get the point of the story. He's changed the way they do things. He's changed their culture. He's done a terrific job there. They've been, you know, I think you can look at Baylor as probably the story of the league to this particular point. But if there is a 1B, it's probably TCU. No question about it.
Yeah, that combined with Texas Tech losing, and now they almost kind of jump in front of Texas Tech, both literally and figuratively, right now in the Big 12 standings. Certainly impressed with that. I was impressed with the fight Oklahoma State showed inside Allen Fieldhouse. Certainly, they led by 11 in the first half. They held Kansas down to just 12 points in the first 10 minutes there. Eventually, Frank Mason made plays. I mean, it's a pretty this is really almost the biggest takeaway I have from that game. It's turned into a similar storyline with a lot of Kansas games that they played here in the Big 12 against what we perceive to be inferior competition. They let the other team hang around for a long time and eventually, especially when they're in that building, make enough plays late to come away with a fairly close win. But they just look so much more vulnerable this year.
Well, vulnerable, I think, is the word that I was going to use. And let's be honest. The four-guard lineup that they're using is terrific offensively. And it is because of how well they shoot it, the finishing ability of Frank Mason and Devontae Graham, the three-point ability of Mekhi Luke as an example. And yet, when you look at some of the other games they've played, you look at the game to start conference play at TCU, Brodzianski had a huge game against him. Mitchell Solomon, who's not necessarily a really, really good big man, I think he had 18 Saturday. So they have some vulnerability there against, you know, some bigger players. And, I mean, think about the game that DJ had in Lawrence. It was pretty solid.
Well, Dean scored 20 basically right at the rim.
Exactly. So I think that's a it seems to be a reoccurring theme, let's put it that way.
And the crazy thing is they're vulnerable, but yet they're still the number two team in the country right now, and they've won
well, that's,
16
that's,
straight.
That's why you shake your head and scratch your head and kick the dirt and all of that, because they still find ways to win. They did not play all that well Saturday, but at the end of the day, when they had to put it on the line and get it done, they did.
And they're going to start to get tested tonight. They got to go to Ames, which, you know, I don't know that there's a Big 12 venue other than maybe here that gets as fired up to have Kansas come into it every single year than Hilton Coliseum in Ames, Iowa. So that will be a test. They're going to have to go to Kentucky. They've got some difficult games. Baylor is coming in there. I forget, it's Kentucky, West Virginia, Baylor all in a three-game stretch at one point. So we'll see what Kansas is made of here before long, you'd have to think. And the other thing in the Big 12, other than Oklahoma getting their first win over Texas Tech, which was a mild surprise to me, Jordan Woodard had a really nice game. Texas suspends Tevin Mack, their leading scorer, and then darn near goes out and beats West Virginia. West Virginia was able to sort of, I would say, awaken from perhaps a slumber from having to travel a long ways, coming off of the biggest win of their year by knocking off Baylor.
Sure. You knew that there would be a little bit of hangover on that one.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I don't care if it's Texas or not. It's hard when You know, you're looking at it, what, a 7-9 team or whatever they were going in there. Yeah, I guess 7-9. You're probably not going to take them as serious as you should. And it almost cost them. But as we mentioned right at the start of the show, good teams find a way. We just said it a while ago with Kansas. Some teams just find a way to do it when maybe it isn't always their best day. And I think we saw that out of the Mountaineers on Saturday. We'll see them here this weekend. I think people will be impressed at how they play. There are some that believe that this may be Huggs' best team at Morgantown. We'll see. Not convinced yet, but we'll see.
Maybe Texas found something with Tevin Mack out of the lineup. Yeah. It's the second time he's been suspended this year, so maybe there's something to they're going to be a better team without him, addition by subtraction.
Well, from what I've heard, and I certainly don't want to sit here and say that I have all of the answers on this because I don't, but from the things I've heard, they didn't have a lot of choice, but they had to suspend him. His attitude wasn't good, needed to sit. Question now is how long?
Coming up in hour two of Wildcat Insider, plenty more on the K-State men. We'll also talk K-State football at 525. First time we've had Wyatt in studio here since the season ended, so we'll look at the biggest question marks heading into next season. But when we come back, Bruce Weber explains his timeout midway through the second half that was sort of the line of demarcation where Baylor took over after that.
Now you can easily deposit checks from there.